you check in on it often. If you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Acts. We are continuing in our series called Reset. And we're talking about what it looks like to reset as a body, as a believer, as a group, as a church. You know, oftentimes what ends up happening is churches begin to try to figure out what's the way forward. And they begin to look at all kinds of different strategies and plannings. And we think strategy and planning is good. We ought to be doing that as individuals and as churches. But they begin to rely on man's planning and man's strategy rather than what does the word say and what does the word point us towards. And so today what we want to do, what we've been doing for the last, I would say, 4 weeks, this is week four, is we're believe and say, listen, if we're going to reset to go forward, we have to go back. What was happening in Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2 is where the church began. It's where the Holy Spirit fell at Pentecost. You remember that. And so what was going on there? We've already looked and seen in week one of this series that one of the marks of that early church was they were dependent on the Holy Spirit. They were walking in the Spirit. They were listening to the Spirit. When the Spirit fell, everything changed. And for the life of a believer, it's important that we understand that the Holy Spirit resides within us. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you've submitted your life to Him. He now takes residence. The Holy Spirit of God resides in you, and He gives you guidance. The second thing that we saw that was a mark of the early church was that they loved the word. Not only did they love the word, the word of God, they loved it, they lived it out. It wasn't just something that they read, it was something that they lived. It wasn't just something that they listened to, because the scripture says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Well, what was the apostles' teaching? It was the Old Testament, and it was also the words of Jesus, what it is that he spoke about. We'll come to that in a few minutes. But so they loved it, and they lived it out. They took it to the streets, if you will, so that others would know. Last week, week three, the third mark that we talked about was prayer. They were devoted to prayer. They were devoted to prayer. In fact, they were so devoted to prayer, as CJ spoke on last week, they believed that prayer was the one thing that changes everything. And my prayer for you has been this week that you've gone to the Father and that you have taken your needs, you've taken your request to Him. Now listen, we believe in wise counsel. We believe that you ought to get people involved in your life. You need to have wise counsel. Proverbs talks about that. But here's the real deal. Are you more dependent on that wise counsel, or are you more dependent on the Lord? Are you going to Him first? Are you pleading before Him? God, I don't know what to do. I have a financial situation. I need you to give me wisdom. I've got a family situation. Father, I need your wisdom. I have a health situation. Father, I need you. That's when we become, listen, when we are dependent on the Holy Spirit as followers of Jesus Christ, when we are loving His word and we're allowing it to live forth, and He, the Holy Spirit, begins to teach us and guide us, and we go before the Father in prayer, pouring our lives and our needs and our desires out to Him, listen, things begin to change. Things begin to change. Well, we're going to look at the fourth mark, I think, today. The fourth mark that you're going to be able to see is they were devoted to the fellowship. They were devoted to the fellowship. Now, for some of you in here, when I talk about fellowship, your mind goes back, especially if you've ever grown up in a church. You think about a little small place they have where the senior adults would bring potlucks. You know, when you've got all kinds of great meals and those types of things. Amy and I, in our very first church that we served in, we were in seminary, and we were going to a potluck dinner. Those of you who understand what that is, everyone would bring some sort of dish, and you'd have a fellowship. You'd sit and you'd eat. We walk in, we're taking our green beans. It wasn't even green bean casserole. I think it was like, opened the bag, the can, and we heated them up in the microwave, and we were taking our green beans. We walk in, 7 o'clock, we go in. People are buzzing around everywhere, and we ask, hey, where do we put our dish? What is it? The green beans, where do they go? Where, dear, that happened an hour ago. It's over. We took our green beans and we went and got back in the car. Guess what we had for dinner that night? We had green beans. We had a lot of green beans. We're not talking about that kind of fellowship, all right? That's not the kind of fellowship that we're talking about. Now, meals together is a part of the fellowship that we're going to talk about, but we're going to define what does it mean to be devoted to the fellowship. Open up to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. We're going to read the word of God together. I'm going to ask that you stand for the reading of God's word, and we're going to read out now. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Listen in as I read here. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. Verse 45, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Verse 47 says this, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That's the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We honor you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive. We thank you that that the Holy Spirit is here today to guide us and teach us, to speak to us. We ask now, Father, that you would bless the reading of your word. And as we study it, may you open our minds and may you guide us. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we ask these things today. Amen. You can be seated. You know, I talk often about this, and forgive me, but my life was marked by a period of time when my wife and I and our kids moved to Brussels to help start the LifePoint Church there. One of the things that, and I'm hopeful that many of you will get to go and take part of that, and you'll get to see that building, that church, that body of people. Brian, who led this morning, we're commissioning him and his wife, Brian and Ashley, we're commissioning them on the 13th. Of this month. And then on the 15th, they leave us and go to Brussels to become one of the leaders there at that church. That's going to be an exciting day. But as part of being at that church in Brussels, one of the things that when people would come and they would be there and they would experience that church and all that they began to see and do, whether they were there on a short-term team or they were passing through onto somewhere else, they would begin to see, man, in a small little body, there were maybe about 100 people total that would come within a month's period of time. We would open the word and the things that you would begin to see, there were 40 different languages in that little body. 40 different languages. We operated in French and in English together. Things that were commented on. This group of people, they're always together. We sit together. We sing together. We go eat together. We get up after church and we all go somewhere. After we get through eating, you go to the park and you hang out. You go to work on Mondays. You're calling someone and you're going to their house. You were in groups. You were praying together. You were always with someone in the body. Now, part of that was, it was a walkable city. You had mass transportation, didn't have a lot of cars. You had people from everywhere who had come to this little city. They had, if they were followers of Jesus Christ or they had a background in church, they were all alone. They found the community and it became life to them. It became life to them. This is the picture that I believe that Paul is trying to help us to understand, that Luke is trying to help us to understand was happening in that early church. This is the type of picture he was wanting us to see. And I think it stands in contrast to who we are as modern day Western United States Christians. Listen, for us, many times what ends up happening is we begin or end our week with Jesus, and then that's it. You see, for this church, for the Acts 2 church, the beginning, Jesus wasn't the beginning and the ending of the week. He was the week. The scripture says they were together all the time, day by day. You see, for us today, what we do oftentimes is we gather together on Sundays, and then the rest of the week we like each other's post. We heart it. You see, we're more comfortable with digital connection than we are personal interaction one with another. COVID did something, and really what I think it did is it exposed something that was already simmering under the base. I think it just kind of exposed it for us. When the whole world kind of shut down and everybody went underground, and then we began to have things, whether it was meetings or works, or prayer groups, church, online, and I'm thankful that you're online with us today if you're not able to be there, but we're inviting you back with us. We want you to gather with us. What began to happen is it exposed how comfortable we are in individualism and being apart. Those of you who live in neighborhoods, how often do you see people drive into their neighborhood, the garage goes up, the car goes in, all of a sudden you see it go down and you never see them again? You don't even know what they look like. You don't know who your neighbors are. Maybe that happens in your apartment. Listen, today what we do is we communicate with video and emojis, right? Listen, there's an app. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember what the name of the app is now. All of a sudden, it went away from me. But we have FaceTime where we could actually in real time. But it's Marco Polo. But now we send these things through Marco Polo where I record my video and I send it to you and you watch it when you want and then you send me a video back. And I need you. I'm not trying to like diss on the app. What I want to do is I want to illustrate we're uncomfortable. Do you realize that there's a literal syndrome that has been brought out by social scientists, psychologists? It's called they're describing it as being alone together. We're experiencing alone together, where you may be in a large group or in a crowd or in a small group, but you feel all alone. Even when you're together, have you ever been in a situation? Watch this when you go to a restaurant. You may have a table of 5, 4, 3 sitting there, and they're all on their phones. Everybody's texting, looking. No one's together. Folks, this is not what fellowship is. What I'm describing, that is not fellowship. Fellowship is when we come together and we are together. When we have interaction one with another. That's rooted in Genesis chapter 1. I want you to write that down. Genesis chapter 1, all right? Genesis chapter 1, God said, let us make man in our image. This is the doctrine that we would call the Imago Dei, the image of God. You see, we were made in the image of God. God has eternally existed as a Trinity, one God, revealed in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who lives in perfect communion. And because the image of God has been planted within us, did you realize that each and every one of us in here have a deep, deep desire to know and be known? How many times do you hear me talk about that? What I desire, I want you with me here, is that I know you and I want you to know me. I want to know the Father, and I want him to know me. That's planted deep within us because the image of God has been planted in us. This is the community. This is the fellowship. That's not going to happen through TikTok videos and Marco Polo. I just need you to know that. We can laugh, and they're funny. I mean, there's some funny stuff out there. But that's not what fellowship is. In verse 42, when it talks about the word fellowship, I'd love for you to write this down. The word fellowship in the original language, Greek, is a word called koinonia. You don't have to write that word down, but let me tell you what koinonia means. Koinonia means togetherness and partnership. Partnership and togetherness. Do you know what We as a fellowship we're a partnership, and we are together with one another. This is what we're being called to. Look at verse 42. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and of prayers. Today, I'm going to give you three pretty quick phrases, ideas of what I believe in here we can see the fellowship is all about. Here's the first one, and we're going to walk through these. The first one is this. The fellowship is built on the gospel. The fellowship, our fellowship, Acts 2, is built on the gospel. And if you don't know what the gospel means good news. It's built on the good news. So in 42, when it starts and it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the natural question is this, is who is they? Who are they? Who is this talking about? Look back one verse to verse 41. And verse 41 says this, so those, now those and they go together. Okay? It says, so those who received his word were baptized and were added that day about 3,000 souls. So who are they that devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the koinonia, to the fellowship, to the partnership, to the togetherness of the gospel? It is those who heard Peter preach. The scripture tells us that Peter got up 50 days, Pentecost. Penta 50. He got up 50 days after Passover. Jesus has ascended back to heaven. 10 more days, they're together, they're praying. Jesus said, do not leave until I send the Holy Spirit. He's going to be the power for you to do what it is I'm calling you to do. On day 50, the Holy Spirit fell. The scripture says that they were all together and they began to hear in their own language. So you have all of these Jews from all over who've come to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost, and they all have a different language. They're all hearing in their own language. And what are they hearing? They're hearing Peter proclaim, Jesus is the only way to heaven. He is the Son of God who came, and you crucified him. That's what they're hearing. And the scripture says that those who heard, they received the good news of Jesus, they were baptized, and there were about 3,000 of them. And they came into the church. The church is born. And what was their partnership? What was their koinonia? What was their fellowship? It was the gospel. Folks, I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to turn around. I want you to look. Look at people in this room. Go ahead and visit. You get to do that now. All right, yeah. Hey, good to see you. Listen, in this room, you have different languages represented, literally different languages represented. You have different families represented. You have different occupations represented. You have different races, ethnicities. You have different ages, different socioeconomic standings. None of those are what their partnership was on. You know what their partnership was? The gospel. That Jesus Christ had changed their life. And I want you to hear, the only thing in this room that we have together that counts for anything is Jesus. That should have been, praise God, amen. That is why we meet together. That's why we meet. It's because our togetherness is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what our partnership, our koinonia is all about. And all of these other things that we bring in here from our economics, our background, our family, we got it together and those who don't have it together. Here's what I want you to know. At the foot of the cross, everything is level. It's not about your money. It's not about your talent. It's not about your ability. It's about Jesus changing us. That was the togetherness. These 3,000, I'm sure that some of them went back to wherever they were from. But most people believe their lives had been changed and they were folded into a group of people. This is why it says they held things in common. They had nowhere to go. They didn't know where their food was going to come. So I show up, you show up in my house, and you don't have anywhere to go. Okay, Zion, come eat my food. You get to sleep over here on my bed. I know you have one, you go home, but if you need to come, you come. But the principle is that they had all been changed, and their partnership now was because of the gospel. That's what they devoted their lives to. Listen, the good news, the gospel was the foundation for their partnership. It was also the glue. And I want to make sure that you hear this. Whenever a church quits preaching Jesus is the only way to heaven, whenever they quit, we can still gather and have great potlucks and do all those things, but I'm going to tell you, it won't last long, because the church of Jesus Christ is built on the partnership of the gospel that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And when we cease, when a church ceases preaching that, I need you to hear me, it ceases being a church. And why we are here is because Jesus has changed us. That is our togetherness. That is our glue. That is what I'm calling some of you to today. I'm calling all of us to it, but practically, there are some of you in here today who've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Your life's never been changed. Maybe you're like me when I was 13. Oh, I had been baptized when I was 5. I knew all these answers. In fact, I went to church. I went to youth camp. Maybe today in here, you're serving in a ministry somewhere. Maybe in here today, you give a lot of money to the church. You try to be good. But your life has never been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're doing all kinds of things that you might say is in the name of Jesus, but you don't know Jesus, and he doesn't know you. That's why Matthew chapter 7 says there are going to be some, he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. What the desire today is that you would know Jesus Christ and that your life would be radically changed by him, because we are devoted to him. Our partnership is based in the gospel. The second thing that you can see here, I think, is that the fellowship in Acts 2, they committed to gather. They were committed to gather. Not only was their fellowship built on the gospel, but they were committed to gathering. Look at verse 46. Verse 46 says this, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." Now, folks, remember what I said. You got 3,000 that got saved. There were a lot of people there. They didn't have a building that was large enough to house all of, well, they did. It was the temple. Because, see, at this moment, this was not a revolution. This was a reformation. This was a movement inside of Judaism. Jesus has come. They're still going to the temple. They're opening the scriptures. They do that all the way into chapter 5. You know, by chapter 5, many people believe that the church had gone from 3,000 to 20,000. That's what was happening. They were gathering. They were committed to gathering together. Notice that the scripture says they went to temple day by day, but not only did they go to temple day by day together, they were breaking bread in their homes, verse 46 says. They were gathering not just at church, the building, but they also did this in smaller groups. Now, at that point, those were probably little smaller house churches where they would gather up. And what would end up happening is Zion and Austin and his family, Michelle Haynes, we're all together with our families. They're living, we're eating. And you know what we're doing? We're talking about the apostles' teaching. We're talking about scripture. We're talking about how Jesus has changed us. We go to the temple together. We meet there in the day, and then we come home and we talk about, can you believe what he's doing? Can you believe what is happening? Do you see this? Guys, our lives are being changed. This is what was happening. They were committed to gathering. Again, it wasn't just the beginning and the end of the week. It was all week. Now, folks, I want to talk to you for just a few moments here. Okay? And I'm going to ask that you hear my heart. Folks, there is everything in our society today that fights against this type of thing. You know, I got to work. You know, my kids, they got a myriad of things. They've got sports, they've got drama, they've got extracurricular, they've got this. You know, because of all of these different things, Sunday's my only day. I need you to hear me. I get it. Reading through all kinds of religious surveys, whether it's the Barna Research Group who studies religious organizations, it's Lifeway, it's denominational organizations. Did you realize that most of their religious surveys of people who claim to be followers of Christ, who are members of church, the average church attender is one Sunday every 5 weeks? Guys, I get it, but there are a lot of reasons, but I need you to hear me. Jesus did not die so that we can conveniently decide whether or not I want to go to church or not based on how I feel when I get up in the morning. Just didn't. I talk to people all the time. Some of you online, some that aren't here today. This is what my spiritual life feels like. It's none of the gears are working. I hadn't seen you at church in a while. No. Are you in a group? No. What are you doing with the word? Folks, I need you to hear. Jesus died so that we might have a powerful life, a life of freedom in him. And if you're too busy to gather corporately and in smaller groups, you're too busy. I didn't expect amens there. That's fine. And I need you to hear me. Right now, if you're feeling like, is he angry? Is he wanting to spank me? Is this what the... No, this is your pastor saying, it's time to reset everything. Because for these folks, when they came to Jesus Christ, their partnership became the gospel. Their lives were changed. Some of them had no homes to go back to because they left Judaism. They left it all. Do you remember when Jesus looked at Peter and he was talking to him about, who do you say that I am? Who do people say? Jesus said, you're the Christ. Then he asked him, he said, are you guys going to leave me also? And Peter said, what? To who else are we going to go? Folks, we have a lot of places we can go today. We have a lot of people we can turn to, but I need you to hear me. As a part of being a follower of Jesus Christ, your partnership, our partnership together, is that we gather together like this. We gather together in smaller homes and areas. Here's where I'm asking you to get your app out. I'm asking you to pull it out, please, all right? In there, right at the beginning of it, you see this. Find your group. I'm going to ask you to open it up. We have groups of all kinds. Whether you want to be in a men's group, you want to be in a women's group, you want to be in a life group of couples. Folks, our lives are dependent. Our walk with Christ is dependent on us doing this together. Christianity is not an individual sport. It is a together sport that we come together and we encourage one another. We stand beside one another. In the very middle of that, you're going to see one. You go, I don't know if any of these fit me. Well, in the very middle of it, there's one right there. It says Riverdale Group Interest. You can pop that thing right there. Open it up. And you can say, hi, my name's Kyle. I am between 40 and 50. I fudged a little bit there. I'm 50, above 50, but I'm This is my demographic. I'd love to have a small group. You may go, I'm open to leading a men's group, a women's group. Me and my wife are open to leading a small group. You can hit that right there, type that in, and we're going to contact you in the next week and just say, hey, let's talk through what that looks like. Because I'm calling and challenging us as followers of Jesus Christ and members of this church, would you get into a group? Would you be committed to the fellowship? Not just gathering like this, but also day by day. Look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 say this. And let us, the writer of Hebrews in verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. 25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That word neglect, you can circle it, underline it, write it down for later. That word in Greek, neglect, means this. It means abandon or desert. It means to abandon or to desert. I want to reread this now with that in light. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not abandoning each other, not deserting each other, as is the habit of some. Folks, I'm calling us, our brothers and sisters, we need one another. Do you see what the end of it says right there at the end of verse 25? And he says, listen, we encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We just finished a year-long series in Revelation. And we all agree, the end is coming. You realize that. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. When is it going to happen? I don't know. We pray, Maranatha, come soon. But he says this, the writer of Hebrews says, I encourage you, you meet together more and more and more as you see the days approaching. Not less and less and less and less. You see, I think the writer of Hebrews is trying to refocus our attention to what this is. Look what he says there. He says, let us consider how to stir up one another. This thing that we're doing today, this gathering, this partnership in the gospel, this togetherness. Do you realize that in this room today, there is someone who needs to hear your singing? Yes, yours. Did you realize that in this room today, there is someone who needs your touch? They need your arms around them. They need your prayers. They need your presence just standing here because they're going, I don't feel like I'm weak and I need somebody near me. Last week, I was sick, was not able to be here. We had one of the most incredible services. Oh man, I hated that I was not able to be here. Were people just praying for one another? You know what? Let me tell you what satisfied my soul and drew me in. You guys may not know this. You can see this if you're online. We have a couple of cameras back there. They panned back, and while you were moving around praying for each other, I could see you moving around. I know people's heads. I saw you moving. I saw you gathered up, and I knew, oh, they're praying for that. Oh, so-and-so's praying for that. Can I tell you what that did to me? Let me tell you what else did to me. When CJ said, hey, our pastor's sick. I want somebody to, y'all remember him and y'all pray for him. You know what my phone did? Ding, 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 ding all afternoon. And it was prayers of people in this room. It was the prayers. People typed out their prayers and sent them to me. This is together in the gospel. Listen, we have a family who's, you know, the Myers. Carl, he's been diagnosed with cancer. He's been unable to attend. He happens to be able to be here today, but he was unable to attend last Monday or Tuesday. Forgive me of which day. It was arranged. Somebody in here arranged for there to be a prayer gathering, not on Sunday, but on Monday night. Tuesday night, one of those, forgive me. We roll in. They had no idea. We roll in. They come out. Tears. You know why? Because the assembly did not forsake them. And some of you in here today, you're wondering, man, I'm longing for that. Today's the day. Come to Jesus. We want to get you in a group because the days are evil and we need one another. We need to do this together. Notice the last thing really quickly, and I know I'm out of time almost. Not only was the fellowship built on the gospel, not only did they commit to gather together, but the fellowship was powerfully genuine. Oh, it was genuine. Notice why don't we look at verse 46 and 47. 46 and 47, I want you to see this. Verse 46 says this, and I want you to check this out. And day by day, circle day by day, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, day by day, those who were being saved. Folks, I think there is a direct one-to-one correlation. I'm just going to tell you. They were meeting together day by day. Does that mean that I need to be in someone's house every day? That would be difficult, but it does need to be more than just Sundays. You need to be in someone's house. I can tell you that right now we have groups that are meeting just about every day of the week. People are gathering up. They're praying for one another. They're studying. They're devoted to the apostles' teaching. They're depending on the Holy Spirit to speak to them. They're seeking to be obedient. They're praying and interceding for one another. And you know what? That is attractive to a lost and dying world. You notice it doesn't say anywhere about they took out social media ads on their way to go to the temple. There was not a bright, they didn't paint the donkey and have it set up at the right corner all around. You can see believers coming in. No, it says they met. They studied the word. They prayed together. They were committed to the partnership, the koinonia. They trusted the Holy Spirit. And it says people looked on and were amazed. There's something different. There's something different. You know, that house over there, they've always got their church over. Boy, this group of believers, these men, boy, they got together and they took care over here. These ladies, they intersected someone's life and they, for the sake of the gospel, that's why we do what we do. Not so that somebody says, hey, look at me. Jesus says, listen, you do your good works and they will see you and they will praise your Father who is in heaven. That's why we do these. That's why we partner together. That's why we come together. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was he's called a dissenting pastor back in the 40s in Germany. He dissented against Hitler. When the Lutheran Church capitulated to the Nazi regime, he stood against. He began an organization called the Confessing Church, and they stayed true to the gospel, the apostles' teaching. He started a little seminary. You read about this in Life Together, a book he wrote about community. And he talks about how in that little seminary, they didn't have, it wasn't advertised. It was just, we're gathering together, men coming together, studying the word, living together, training them, encouraging them to go and start churches. And it says the word got out and men just began to come from different places. Why? Because there was life change happening. He ends up in prison for standing against. He knew that him standing against Hitler, it would eventually cost his life. While he was in prison, he wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. I would recommend both of those books to you. Incredible books. I want to read to you what he said in Life Together. He says, the physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer. Anybody believe that? That's right. You know, when he was in prison, do you know that he actually was executed like days, hours before when the if I'm remembering correctly, I need Noah to help me here. It was right before everything was the Germany was liberated, and he ended up being executed. That time, yes, he knew it was going to cost him his life standing against. But you know what his greatest source of discouragement was? That for those 2 years, they would move him from prison to prison to prison to prison. And it was that he was cut off from his community. His koinonia, his partnership, his family, he was cut off from it. Folks, let me ask you this. What would it look like for us? What would it look like in this community? What would it look like in your family when you begin to experience that kind of partnership? When you begin to experience the Holy Spirit moving, teaching you because you're loving and living it, you're praying, they're praying for you, and you're a community that you're devoted to. Not just Sunday, but all throughout the week. You're committed to the brothers and the sisters. I want to read something to you. It's a little longer, but I think it's important that we hear this. This was written by Aristides of Athens, who was a Greek philosopher. It was written in 125, 30 years after Revelation was written. He wrote it to the Emperor Hadrian, Roman Emperor. Here's what he wrote. It's a very long letter. I'm just reading an excerpt from it. But the Christians, O king, wherefore they do not commit adultery, nor fornication, nor bear false witness, nor embezzle what is held in pledge, nor do they covet what is not theirs. They honor father and mother, and they show kindness to those near them. And wherever there are judges, they judge uprightly. They do not worship idols made in the image of man, and whatsoever they would not that others should do unto them, they do not do that to them. And the food which is consecrated to idols, they do not eat it, for they are pure. And their oppressors, they comfort them and make them their friends. They do good to their enemies. And their women, O king, are pure as virgins. Their daughters, they are modest. Their men, they keep themselves from every unlawful union and from all uncleanliness in the hope of the recompense that is to come in the other world. Further, if one of them has a bondman or a bondwoman or children, through love towards them, they persuade them to become Christians. And when they do so, they call them brothers without distinction. They do not worship strange gods, and they go their way in all modesty and cheerfulness. Falsehood is not found among them, and they love one another. And from widows, they do not turn away their esteem. And they deliver the orphan from him who treats him harshly. And he who has gives to him who has not without boasting. And when they see a stranger, they take him into their homes and rejoice over him as if he is a very brother. For they do not call them brethren after the flesh, but brethren after the Spirit of God. And whenever one of the poor passes from the world, each one of them, according to his own ability, gives to the need of him and carefully sees to his burial. And if they hear that one of their number is imprisoned or afflicted on account of the name of their Messiah, all of them anxiously minister to his necessity. And if it is possible to redeem him, that he might be set free. Folks, is that what would be said of us as a body? Is that what would be said of you and your community, your partnership in the gospel? This is what we live for. This is the gospel we've been called towards. A fellowship that we commit to gather corporately and privately. Today, we are going to begin our communion. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you came in here and you didn't get one of our communion cups, as a follower of Christ, if you didn't get one of our communion cups, I'm going to ask, would you raise your hand all across? Don't be ashamed. Just raise your hand. We'll make sure you get one. We've got people who are coming forward. Shannon, all the way up here up front. We've got several. Keep that hand up if you didn't get it. I want to read a passage of scripture to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17 say this. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Paul writes further in Corinthians in chapter 11. He says, listen, when you come together, don't take the body and the blood, the bread and the juice. Don't take it in a manner that's unworthily. He says, a man or a woman ought to examine themselves. First and foremost, are they in Jesus Christ? Do they know him? Has there been that point? So today, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, here's what I would ask. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I would ask that you just hold on to this. Because what we do with the Lord's Supper, communion, it is a memorial meal. It is a remembrance of God who changed our lives. We submitted to him. And when you go to a memorial, you're going to a memorial because you know someone and you're honoring them by your presence. Well, today, if you've never trusted Jesus, you don't know him. And so this would not be for you. I would ask you to hold it back. And I would love to. CJ, so someone else, we would love to pray with you and talk to you about what it means to follow Jesus. If you are a follower of Christ today, what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment here. We're going to pray. God, is there anything in my life that is not honoring to you? Is there anything that I need to repent of? I need to turn back and come to you. Is there anything that there's a break in our fellowship? Is there anything? Praise God. When he saves us, he saves us from our past sin, our present sin, and our future sin. But there are opportunities where there could be something standing between our communication because of something we need to confess and repent of. So here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, Zion and Juliana, they're going to sing over us. They're going to sing a song about hearing the Lord speak. And we're going to open this altar. We're going to give you the opportunity at your chair. Maybe you want to pray there. We're going to give you the opportunity. I'm going to be down front. Austin's going to be down front. CJ's going to be down front. And if you want someone to pray with you, just to pray in agreement, we want to do that with you. And then when they finish, I'm going to come back up after your time of examination, your time of prayer, and we'll go through together as one body, celebrating and remembering the one bread and the one cup. Father, we magnify you. And I pray, Father, right now that you would speak to us and you would draw us. In the name of Jesus, I ask these things. Amen. Zion.